There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, away we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile, hour number two on this Monday. Glad to have you along. We continue to watch the situation in downtown. New information, any changes become available in that story. We will bring that to you and, of course, keep you up with the information that's already happened. You got questions, we'll be putting up more information as we go through the day. You can check our social media feeds, Twitter feed at FM Talk 106.5 for me, and reach out there directly. Also, here's the transition. You ready for this? You'll like this. As we ended last hour as well, talking about Brian Harsin being fired by Auburn and be kind of going through the amount of money he gets paid for losing and getting fired. A lot's probably changed since the days of Vince Dooley, who, of course, coach at the UGA, the Georgia Bulldogs, who passed away on Friday, I believe. And it was, it's a story that, while nationally is being covered because of Georgia, because of football, I mean, the Herschel Walker thing, that whole discussion. But it is absolutely an Alabama story, and even more importantly than that, a South Alabama story. When I heard my friend Bill Finch with Plain Gardening for the Gulf Coast on Sunday talking about his time with Vince Dooley, I knew I had to get him on this show to talk more about it, and he joins us now. Hey, Bill.
Hey, Sean. Yeah, so gosh, do I miss Vince already. And I just think about all the contributions he made to Alabama, which we don't think about. You know, it's we don't celebrate here, and we should. I mean, Vince Dooley represents Mobile as much as anybody I know. He is just... He was a product of Mobile. His family was so intimately involved. I mean, Sean, where do you want me to start talking about?
Well, I want to talk about it this way, because, you know, nationally, this discussion of Vince Dooley, and they'll say, oh, you know, from Mobile, Alabama. But you said it so well, and something you and I have talked about before. The story of Vince Dooley is one of what, you know, like late E.O. Wilson, why we're here, right? The title of it, he encompasses that, not just being from Mobile, but the roots, not even being in Mobile proper, the roots of being in the Delta, the land. Somebody right now, many somebodies, are listening to you and I. They can look off the Bayway and look at that peninsula that splits the Spanish and Polecat Bay, and they're looking at land that Vince Dooley's family farmed on, ran cattle on, lived on. Right? I mean,
Stouters were famous. And it's just, it is absolutely astonishing, you know, that, and I would hear the stories about running cows in the Delta and the Stouters and for years. And I didn't really realize it was Vince's family, but there were other families. But I think the Stouters were probably the most notorious.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly the most storied of those families. And it's just absolutely incredible. So Vince's, I guess that was Vince's mom's family.
Yep, his mom's family. Yep. Yep.
And we're all Stouters. And he had an uncle who got the old family place, which was up in the Delta. Nobody knew exactly, remembered where it was, but he had an uncle, and Vince remembered going to visit his uncle. His uncle was a strange character. But he's from Mobile, so that's not unusual, I guess. But, you know, he was a strange character, and he was out there on this island by himself in the middle of the Delta. Never, the only way to get into town was to take a boat, and in those days, it was actually a little harder to take a boat for most of the time to get into town. And but rarely did he ever come into town, and Vince would go out to visit him, and they would stay in the old family place out on this island. And Vince remembered this uncle kind of, and Vince acknowledges he's kind of a strange character, but he said he was a great guy. And he said finally that he got in poor health and they made him come back into town. And he'd been there in town a month or two and died. You know, it was just, they were so tied to that Delta. They were so tied to that place. So Vince, I guess I'll start this way. Vince, I have to start here by saying Vince, first and foremost, was a genius. I mean, you think it takes genius to be a football coach, and it does, I reckon.
Yeah.
I can't comment too much about that because I had never been a football coach before. Played football, but I hadn't been a coach. But I can tell you that Vince was really one of the most broadly read, just his mind was everywhere. So he's a good historian, a great historian in some ways. And kind of went back to school, did a bunch of work in history. But he was also a terrible, terrible plant nerd. I mean, you have no idea. He had an immense garden. He was introducing plants left and right.
I mean, this is Vince Dooley. I mean, this is what is going to shock people. This is the football coach, the football player, Vince Dooley, and he's not only into gardening, not like he just doesn't have some tomato plants out back. He's fully engrossed in this.
So that's right. So Vince is just totally enamored with plants, and he'll go anywhere to see a plant. And so he isn't recruiting me for the football team. I can tell you, he's calling me and saying, I heard you know a little bit about Delta. I heard you know a little bit about plants. I want to come see him. So we got together. Bobby Green was at Fairhope, was sort of the intermediary. And Vince, one day, we've been talking about plants and looking around. And Vince says, you know, we got the old family place. It's up in the Delta. And he said, I want to find it. He said, I kind of know where it is. It's over there by Bay St. John or somewhere over there. He said, let's go look for it sometime. I said, okay. Ben and I both spent some time looking for it, Ben Raines and I. And I got to thinking about it. And I one day I was up in my little Stouter boat, and I saw a shell mound up Bay St. John, and in a little bitty creek that just was covered over. You couldn't even get a boat in it. And I walked up into it, and I realized this must be the place. So I called Vince and said, I think I got it. So what did he do? We got a boat. I think we got the newspaper boat. I don't remember. But Vince Dooley and Fob James.
I mean, you're starting
Vince
to joke.
Dooley and Fob James played on the Auburn team together all those many years ago when they were in college. And Vince Dooley and Fob James in the boat going to look for Vince Dooley's old place. We get up there. I can't get into the creek because it is so covered over with vegetation. We can't take the nothing works. So I just jump out of the boat, drag the boat up into this creek, which then I thought, well, you know, maybe Vince will have me on the football team next time. We drug it up towards that old shell mound, and there it was. It was all there. The house was gone. The foundation was there, but the water tank was there. The old punt that they used to use to get that his uncle used to use to get from the shell mound back into Mobile. It was still there. It just was an amazing thing for him and an amazing thing for me. But, you know, he loved the Delta, and he worked in many ways to protect a lot of properties. We protected a property over at Blakely. It's now in the hands of the Archaeological Conservancy, which is where it belongs. And it's a great property. He worked with me to protect it. It's the site of the where the U.S. Colored Troops won the Civil War, essentially. Amazing story that we don't tell enough. But he helped to preserve that property and worked with me on a lot of other projects, too, around the Delta. He loved that Delta. He loved that place.
Hey, by the way, too, just side note, how about this for timing? Later on in this hour, Mike Bunn from Blakely State Park is going to join me to talk about the exact thing, an event for Veterans Day and the U.S. Colored Troops. So, it's interesting, Bill, to think about that place, because right now, still, like, growing up, you know, Causeway Kid, growing up, what we all used to call Stouder Camp, up on the Raft River, and that piece of land still in the Stouder family. But to think about the different tracks that, you know, were members of the Stouder family, from that track there to, you know, down there between Polecat and Spanish River to over where you're talking about, like, John's Bend, that kind of stuff. That footprint was there. He had this interesting, I mean, everybody loves to go see the family, right? Get to go, if you live in the city, you get to go back to the country to visit the family. But it was such a strange description. I mean, when you were talking about y'all together back in, 2011 or something like that, that he told stories of, like, living downtown. I think they lived at Admiral Sims or near there somewhere. And he would go and get in a boat and go up and see the family that lived full time still in the Delta.
Right.
I mean, how you could not have a love for nature and go do that on the weekends, whatever, I don't know. But then to take it to that next level, like you said, introducing plants, being would you say horticulturalist? Can you use that term?
Yeah, definitely horticulturalist. I mean, everybody agreed that. He's really wise, really smart. There's a whole series of hydrangeas that are now very popular nationally. They don't do so well in Mobile, but they came out of his garden in Athens. A horticulturist working for University of Georgia, UGA, came by, Mike Durr, and saw this and realized, wow, this is something. So that became the foundation stock for a whole new series of hydrangeas that are now they're rebloom hydrangeas. I don't recommend them for Mobile, but nonetheless, they're incredibly popular now all over the United States. And it came out of Vince's garden. And he just was an avid collector of these plants and brought to a lot of people's attention to plants that would not have been known otherwise. He and Bobby Green, great friends, worked together for years and years. Bobby Green, the great camellia specialist over in Fairhope, and Martin Vandergeesen. He and Vince went way back because Vince would always show up at all these horticultural shows. So it's a really interesting story there.
And it doesn't have to be, but it is of note because it's a book and cover not matching for people who didn't know Vince Dooley from anything other than football. Right? I mean, because you get whether it's stereotypical or not, this idea that there'd be a football coach that would be obsessed with flowers and plants, it just usually doesn't fit the stereotypic definition of a football coach.
No, but of course, I wouldn't have said that to Vince's face.
No, I wouldn't either.
Vince is a pretty tough guy. You know, when I took him up into the Delta with Fobb and, Governor James.
Yes.
So they're both in the boat together, but you know, Vince is already in his 80s. He's tough as nails. And he crawled up. They both waded up through the water into this place. And Vince got around. When we were working on the Blakely site together, it was tough walking. It was tough to get to. And we brought a bunch of folks down from the Civil War Trust, now the American Battlefield Trust, and just a bunch of folks from Washington, D.C. And they were struggling. They were having a hard time. The young guys. Vince was just, you know, he's just running right up the hill. So he was a tough guy right to the end. I've tried to imagine what it was like to be coached by Vince. he was, you know, I can see some coaches barking at you, and I had plenty of coaches that barked at me, and that yelled at you and screamed and hollered. I just, you know, I don't imagine Vince had to do that very much. There was just something. If Vince said something quiet, you just said, "Ooh, I better do it." And he was just, I think he was really good at motivating people with light words, but he was a tough character.
Hey, Bill, can you hang on just a minute or two here to go to the news, and we'll come back more of our conversation with host of Plain Gardening for the Gulf Coast, my friend Bill Finch, talking about the legacy of Vince Dooley. You may not be hearing in all the other stories out there, but the definition is mobile. I mean, in the roots, literally. Be right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 125, FM Talk 106.5, and Midday Mobile. Continued conversation with my buddy and host of Plain Gardening for the Gulf Coast that you hear on Sundays here a couple times. And, of course, the popular podcast. It's my friend Bill Finch talking about the legacy of Vince Dooley. And obviously, you know, you couldn't go past a sports show over the weekend. They weren't talking about the football legacy. So that's covered. But we're talking about the legacy of Vince Dooley, the Mobilian.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting that he didn't become coach at Auburn. I think he wanted to be. He would never have said that out loud. But I think he wanted it. He didn't get it, you know, coaching politics being what it is, and state university politics being what they are. But he went on to become a very famous Georgia coach, and Georgia celebrates him like one of their own. But, you know, this is Mobile's own. Vince belongs to Mobile in a way that we don't celebrate enough. You know, I think about it's interesting. Mobile, when it produces famous people who really go on, they often turn out to be really brilliant people. And it's kind of odd. E.O. Wilson, you know, probably the most famous scientist, certainly the most famous biologist in the world.
Yeah, globally.
Globally. I mean, from Mobile, grew up in Mobile. Vince, and you know, they both in many ways sort of have a similar arc. And both, interestingly, are interested in nature and the world they saw around them, because that's what they grew up with around Mobile. I don't know how many more generations will be able to enjoy that, but boy, it really left an impression on them. And you know, Vince still has still has deep ties. Even his wife Barbara, Barbara Michaud, was born in Birmingham, but we forgive her for that. She has her brothers, Mike Michaud, Mike and Kitty Michaud. He's an oncologist here in Mobile.
He comes on the show with me a couple times a year. Yeah, he's a friend, a long time.
Yeah, so he's. Vince would come back to visit all the time with his family and with the Michauds. Deep ties to Mobile. It's something I think the city needs to celebrate. We put a picture of Ed up with the ant. Ed had some problems with the accuracy of the ant, of course, but it was great, and I'm glad we did that. But you know, I think Vince deserves something similar.
Absolutely. And you know what? You're the great ambassador for people from here, and I'll back you up on that for sure. So hopefully, you know, as we talk about, you know, it could be the sports aspect that gets, you know, people in government interested in it, but to make sure that the other part of it, just that deep roots, pun intended, of Vince Dooley in our area,
right,
is celebrated.
Yeah.
Bill, as always, I appreciate our conversations. I didn't even get a chance to get into the discussion of how good my collards look or anything, but I'll do that on your show, okay?
All right. I'll take you up on that, Sean. Please give me a call.
We'll do it. There he is, Bill Finch, Plain Gardening for the Gulf Coast, of course, on Sunday mornings, but also not only just the natural world, but the way Bill ties the people, the human beings, with the natural world and our history. Don't miss that show every Sunday here at FM Talk 106.5. Coming right back, more Midday Mobile.
Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 135 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have y'all along on this Monday. It's time to check in with my buddy Mike Bunn, author extraordinaire. I have to get him back. I'll ask about some books on this interview, but get him back soon to talk more about that. Also, the day gig, right? Director at Historic Blakely State Park. And always a treat to talk to. Mike Bunn, good to hear from you. How are you?
Doing great. Hope you're doing well.
Doing fantastic. A couple things here. First of all, let's talk about what's going on at Historic Blakely State Park as pertains to Veterans Day. And what's happening with the park for that?
Well, as you know, we every year we do some sort of special event around Veterans Day. This year, the opening of the special event will be the opening of a new heritage trail. We've got some property just north of the regular park entrance that for the first time we're going to have access to. It's the USCT Heritage Trail. It is a system of trails that will take visitors to three distinct parallels of earthworks dug by one of the largest contingents of African-American soldiers to fight in any Civil War battle. They took part in the Battle of Fort Blakely, and we'll provide access and interpretation to it. So we're going to open that November 12th, and it's just a really exciting community project.
So, okay, Mike, those earthworks are outside the footprint of Blakely, even though they're part of the battlefield?
It is on property that we own.
Okay.
But it's outside of, if you came into our entrance off of 225, you'd have to leave the park to go to it. So when we get visitors there, there'll be a keypad operated gate. So you'll have a gate code to enter the property. So it's our property, but it's just separated from our main entrance by about a mile and a half on Cloverleaf Landing Road. It's a really big park. And so we're going to eventually try to connect those two from a road inside the park. But for right now, you'll have to leave the regular park entrance, go up about a mile and a half, and enter through a keypad-operated gate.
Now that history, I'm asking somebody like you, so we get a lot of history here, which I love, but the short version of that history, the assault on Fort Blakely, the U.S. colored troops, set the stage for us. You said the largest of any battle in the Civil War.
Yes, one of the largest concentrations of African-American troops in any Civil War battle. They were part of the forces that laid siege to and assaulted Fort Blakely, which was the pivotal place of defense for actually the city of Mobile in 1865. Mobile was the last major southern city in Confederate hands to fall to Union forces. And so they were part of those 16,000 troops that were sent to Blakely, part of a 45,000 manned force sent to capture Mobile. And those troops laid siege to Blakely, and that portion of the line, it's a three-mile-long line of earthworks they constructed, that portion of the line where those USCT soldiers were, those were mostly former slaves that volunteered for the Union war effort, and they were posted in that area. They laid siege to Blakely, built these lines of fortifications, and then ultimately on April 9th, 1865, were part of the grand assault on Fort Blakely across that three-mile-long line in what we call the Battle of Fort Blakely.
It seems like every decade, every year that goes by, I learn more about those troops. Even a discussion of some graves around here that have people that were here down towards Point Clear.
Yeah. There's definitely some graves of some of these guys here in Baldwin County and over in Mobile County, in the National Cemetery as well. So it's a really strong connection to local history that has some national importance. And so we're really excited to allow people for the first time to get on that site. Because as I mentioned, Blakely is a huge park, over 2,000 acres. And if you looked at our map of all the properties we own, it's far more than just the park that you access on 225. So this is the first time that we could get access there, and we could only do it with the help of Impact 100 of Baldwin County, which awarded us a grant to do this. And so we've been working with them and with the Historic Blakely Foundation to make this a reality.
So the official opening is on Veterans
Saturday,
Day?
Saturday, November 12th.
We 12th, okay.
Hold the opening. And what we'll do is we'll have a special ceremony. It's free to attend, but you do need to pre-register. Call us to let us know because there will be some limited seating. But within a week or so after that, we're going to have a open. It's going to be open to the public for the first time. So we're holding a grand opening ceremony, but the actual access to the public after that day will be a week or so later. There's just, you know, just a few little issues to get the electrical and the water and all that tied in that we're running a minute or two behind on, but we'll have it all open this month or November, I should say. And it'll be a great addition to the park if you're looking to understand the battle and more about it and understand its connections to some nationally significant events. This would be a great place to start.
The interpretive portion of it, I know Saturday, like you said, the grand opening, people talking. What if, because I'm thinking about other areas of Blakely, what will it be like? Will there be signage to tell me what's going on?
Along the trail, and it's about a mile and a half long trail, a big loop, there are a series of interpretive panels that help you understand what you're looking at, tell you more about the USCT troops, the units that were there, and actually who was at the exact site you're standing in some instances. And we'll also have an audio guide, a cell phone tour, which is an extension of what we already do in the park. There's about 20 new stops we'll add for this USCT Heritage Trail development, so you can listen in and learn more as you go. And there's also, of course, going to be a printed flyer that you can take up there too. So several ways that you can help navigate that series of trails and learn more about what you're looking at as you go.
This question actually coming in, and this is a testament to how great the camping is. I think last time you and I talked, I was talking about the scouts having the scouts out there camping. Will there be camping in the new area? Asked a texter here.
No, not right now. This area that we're working on is just a trail development for the moment. It's several hundred acres, so eventually we don't know what might all happen there. But for right now, there will be no camping. It will be day use only, but it will be hiking, biking, and horseback riding friendly.
Hey, let's talk about this, because this next question here says it's very interesting. I need to know how I can post this information on Facebook. Talk about your Facebook site, because then we're going to talk about what you just posted today.
Sure. Facebook, we're at Blakely State Park. Just like us and follow us. We've got all of our upcoming events listed, and we post something about every day about what's going on in the park and upcoming events, et cetera. Share some great photos of the park that some of our visitors and friends have shared with us, and it'll be a great way to keep up to date on everything that we're doing. And so that information is there, and it's also on the events page of our website, which is blakeleypark.com.
By the way, just joining us, talking to the director at Blakely State Park, Mike Bunn. What y'all posted today, this, first of all, how can I get a copy of that map? Because this is what a cool map. I'm a map freak, and I've never seen this one before, the Rebel Defenses of Mobile. But you said this weekend, coming out of Five Rivers down on the causeway, a special Civil War on the Eastern Shore cruise. Tell us about that.
Sure. This is one of the over 20, I think we're up to 23 different cruises that we do now, and I'll be guiding this one from Five Rivers. We run out of Five Rivers every other weekend with a series of cruises, and they're nature-based and some based in local history. This is one that we'll do this weekend that is focused on local history. It's our Civil War on the Eastern Shore cruise, which takes you by the battlefields of Spanish Fort and Blakely and some other fortifications that were significant in the campaign for Mobile that you can only access by water. And we do this a few times a year. We run it from both the Blakely dock and the Five Rivers dock. We'll do it from Five Rivers this Saturday morning, and right before the cruise, as an added bonus for everybody who really wants to know more about natural environment, we have a good friend of the park, Fred Nation, will be guiding guests on a complimentary, what we call a tree walk, to identify some of the unique native species of trees that are in the area right near the landing at Five Rivers. So learn about our natural and cultural history this Saturday.
Yeah, and like you said, you do different cruises, different times, chance for people who don't have a boat or don't know their way around to go see some of the great sights you can see from the water.
Definitely. We cruise 12 months out of the year from three or four different docks and Five Rivers for every other weekend. And every other weekend when we do that, we've got a series of cruises. And so this is one of the special ones that we're doing for November.
All right. Remind folks again then on the event that's the 12th, right? For the opening?
Yeah, November 12th is the opening of the USCT Heritage Trail. If you'd like to be a part, do email us or call us. All the contact information is on the events page of our website, blakeleypark.com. But after that opening ceremony. We're going to recognize all the people who helped make it possible, have a special ceremony, fire the cannon to open it and all that. But after that, a week or two later, we'll have a regular public opening where you can actually access it. That day you'll be access it, but it'll be a few weeks before the public in general can get a ticket and go into it.
Always enjoy our conversations, Mike. Look to talk to you again really soon.
Thank you. Hope you do well.
All right. There he is, the director at Historic Blakely State Park, and I would add author extraordinaire. I'll tell you what, when we come back from the break, I'll talk about some of the books I've had Mike in to talk about before that are on my bookshelf. We'll do that when we return. Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 150 in Midday Mobile on this Monday. Hi, I'm Sean. By the way, have I mentioned the FM Talk 106.5 app? Maybe a time or two? Go grab it. It's free. It's waiting for you. iPhone users, go to the App Store. Android users, because we're much cooler. We're the green text, right, for you iPhone people. Go to Google Play and just look for FM TALK 1065. And you'll see our logo. That's the free app. Download it. You can stream us right there. You can check out our 56 hours a week of live local shows we produce right here at almost Airport and 65, right? Locally owned station, locally staffed station. This is us. We're all homeboys and homegirls here. And the app lets you access those shows. Also, our social media feeds, traffic maps on there, latest weather information, show schedules, just to name a few. Check it out, the FM Talk 106.5 app. Let me tell you about my buddy, because this is Monday, all right? So I've told you about my buddy Trey with 1-800-GOT-JUNK. I think Fridays and Mondays are pivotal days, right, for getting things done or getting things started in your life. Sometimes I choose Fridays, sometimes, yeah. But if you get junk around the house, holidays are here, right? I mean, it's Halloween today. Heading to the holiday. If you got to get some stuff out from around the house because people are going to be coming in and looking and judging. You know, not that family judges each other. but maybe it's time to get rid of the junk. Or it could be junk in a storage unit, office, a shop, anywhere you got to get rid of junk. Use 1-800-GOT-JUNK. My buddy Trey's been doing this for 14 years in Mobile and Baldwin counties. You know the big national name, but I'll tell you about the guy that runs it. He's from here. His crew's from here. His people are all local. And they're the kind of people that I and you should want in your house. And that's a key thing with me, letting people in my home to do work. I'm funny about that. I really am funny about that. And Trey and his crew, who have been at my house more than once, do great work. So let them do that for you. Wherever it is you need that junk gone, set the appointment today on a Monday. Maybe you can't get to it till Thursday. That's fine. Get online or get on the phone, and they'll find a day that works for you, a window of time that works for you, and then you book a good old-fashioned appointment. They call you when they're on their way. They show up. All you do is point at the junk you want gone. Little junk, big junk, above-ground pool, whatever it is. They'll get it gone right then. So check them out online, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com, or pick up the phone. The name is the number. Set that appointment today with 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Oh my gosh, a lot of text here, and then we'll update you on the situation still in downtown. That standoff still has not changed now, 3 hours plus into this. But I just want to address this so I don't forget it. Somebody on the text line had asked, an unnamed texter, y'all give yourself a nickname or something. It doesn't have to be your real name. It makes me feel like I can talk to you more directly than just saying, you know, your phone number or unnamed texter. Is Blakely State funded? No. But let's talk detail here for a second. So this came up back during the parks bill, park funding bill, as well. Somebody had asked that. So here's the story with like, it's, I guess you say quasi funded that way. So it's in 1976 when Blakely was founded. It's a private, I don't know if it's a 501c3, it's a not-for-profit foundation. Okay, so that's set up. Now, the legislature, Alabama legislature, in 80 or 81 or something like that, named Blakely a state park and created a separate state authority that oversees operations. So ADCNR doesn't run it. So the regular state park is not the same as all the other state parks. It's called a state park, but it's not run by the state. State funding was suspended in 2011, and the park is now funded by what Mike Bunn was talking about, your donations, gate receipts and private contributions. So it had some state element in it, but no, it is called a state park, but it's not officially, like I said, it's called an official state park, but it's not the same as the others in the state park system. So to try to answer that question there. A couple notes here for what's still going on downtown. The report is the man still in the car. Actually, I'm looking at a live shot of it right now, that gray Hyundai. Man in the car with a gun to his head. I guess he continues to hold that gun, and we heard that early report. Now there's a Mobile Police Department cruiser right behind the vehicle, kind of having it boxed in from behind. They said the man is in there. They earlier heard, I think it was Chief Prine said that they had given the man a cell phone so they could communicate with him in there as there are negotiators on site. I know we earlier reported in the first hour somebody from Alta Point was there and maybe people from MPD trying to get the guy to come out. And they say he's kind of incoherent when they're talking to him. But he is still, I guess, holding the gun to his head, obviously threatening suicide. So that is the situation downtown. I think the Bankhead is still closed. I know there are some things maybe in the general area that have lightened up with their hard shutdown. But it's still that situation right there by Government Plaza, the man in the car. And, yeah, it's three and a half hours of this situation. As more information comes out, we'll share it with you on our social media platforms as well. Let's see, a bunch of texts coming at the end of the show. Question about Mike Bunn and his books. Just for a second, let's have your ear for a second. If you're a reader, you like to read, about local history, Mike's one of the many authors that comes on with me to talk about those books. Some of the ones I'm thinking about that are on my bookshelf, The 14th Colony, which is really a cool discussion of British West Florida and that time period. You know, if you go back in time when there were international borders all around us here in Mobile, you know, this this idea of, you know, all the flags that have flown over the city and think about how close different empires were and all that. It brings that into the mix. And also this idea of the 14th Colony. It's really great read. One of my favorites, Battle for the Southern Frontier, because y'all know I'm crazy for reading about the Creek Indian Wars. And that's a great book he did about that. Also, Early Alabama, which is a prebellum discussion of Alabama. I think it stops there at the Civil War. Really interesting read as well. He's got many more, but those are three of them that are on my bookshelf if you get a chance to check out Mike Bunn. So not only he's got the day gig as a director there at Blakely State Park, but he also is a heck of an author and historian. Let's see. Oh, and the Harsin thing, yeah, we talked about that some earlier in the show. I know that we're just minutes away from Paul Feinbaum. I couldn't do it better than him, so just hang on for a second. You'll get more of the Harsin discussion coming up in like 4 minutes or so. You'll get all that you can take. Yeah, and I didn't even get to, you know, I've seen people have been texting in. The Paul Pelosi thing, hey, listen, that's a story we can talk about tomorrow when they're in a situation with a SWAT standoff in downtown Mobile. It brings up a lot of questions. Timing of it, you know, it brings up a lot of questions. But it's also one that you do wonder about the information. All right, and you looked over the week yesterday at the Sunday shows. What is allowed to be discussed and what's not allowed to be discussed on this? Let's see what happened. I'll tell you this. It's unacceptable if this, you know, went down as they said. It's unacceptable. Same way it's unacceptable to have people want to kill Justice Kavanaugh. When we work ourselves into a world where people want to go from words to actions, a republic doesn't function on that. You know, and I often will raise the flag in warnings about trouble for our republic. The system of the vote and having people's confidence in the vote, I think, is the key. I said that right after the election. I said, that's what Congress should have been working on. Well, see what they worked on. At the same time, being able to have differing opinions without it becoming, you know, motivating somebody to terrorism against that person is also a keystone that separates us from other nations. Now, have we fallen down on that? Yes, of course. But we should still not accept that kind of behavior out there. I don't care what your feeling is about this politician or that politician. That is unacceptable. So we'll see how that story plays out as we go forward. Let's just look. And then, wrap up. Yes, somebody asking about Bill Finch. So that podcast will load here in the next hour or so. My discussion of the legacy of Vince Dooley outside the world of football, the legacy of Vince Dooley and his significance to Mobile. That discussion's waiting for you in podcast form, whether you use the app or you go to Spotify or iTunes or any of those places. You can get it there or directly through our website, fmtalk1065.com. All right, y'all have a good one. Paul Feinbaum on the way next. She'll be chock full of horse and talk.